The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. Jesus said to his disciples, "As the Father loves me, so I also love you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy might be complete. This is my commandment. Love one another as I love you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I no longer call you slaves, because a slave does not know what his master is doing. I have called you friends, because I have told you everything I have heard from my Father. It was not you who chose me, but I who chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will remain, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. This I command you: love one another." The Gospel of the Lord. Permit me to share with you this YouTube video that a friend of mine sent to me from Nigeria in the year 2014. It is about a group of guys who created a job. It looked so real. And they created this job, posted it online, and on some major newspapers. After a while, young men, young women, applied for the job, and an interview was held on Skype. And this is how the interview went. So please listen carefully. If you get distracted, you may not know how the story ends. The interviewer: "The job you are applying for is not just a job, but probably the most important job. The title of this job is Director of Operations, but it is really so much more than that. The responsibilities and requirements are so much extensive. Now, the first requirement for this job is mobility. This job requires that you do your work standing up most or really all the time. You must be constantly on your feet, constantly bending over, constantly exerting yourself with high level of stamina. Now, the names of the candidates that applied for this job were not given, but I, that's meaning me, Father Marcel, have assigned names to each of them for a better understanding and appreciation of what happened." Now, when the interviewer said this, John, these are not real names, John said, "Oh, okay." With his mouth wide open and still speechless, Mary said, "That's a lot." Elizabeth asked, "For how many hours?" The interviewer replied, "135 hours, unlimited hours a week, basically 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. David asked, I am not sure one will have the chance to sit down from time to time. The interviewer said, you mean like a break? David said, yeah. Interviewer said, oh no, there are no breaks available. Now, another interviewer by name Lucy asked, is that even legal? Interviewer said, of course, yes. Juliet, another interviewer, another applicant asked, does it mean there will be no lunch? The interviewer said, you can have your lunch, but it is only when your associate is done eating their lunch. After that, there was a deep pause. Joseph broke the silence and said, okay, I think that's a little intensive and intense. Elizabeth replied, no, that's crazy. After that, one of the interviewers talked to the candidates even further by announcing, along with excellent negotiation and interpersonal skill, you must also have a degree and expertise in medicine, finance, and culinary arts. You must be able to wear several hats. Your associates need constant attention. Sometimes you may have to stay with your associate through all the night. You must be able to work in a chaotic environment. If you had a life, we ask you to give it up. No vacation, in fact, during Christmas, Thanksgiving, New Year, and holidays, the workload will go up, and we demand that. And you must do all this with a happy disposition. Mary said, ah, that's almost cruel. That's a very, very sick twisted joke. Francis then asked, what happens during the time of sleep? The interviewer quickly replied, oh, no time to sleep. Charles added, that's encompassing, that's crazy. Interviewer replied, that's exactly right. Juliet asked, so, one will do this for 365 days a year? Yeah, said the interviewer. Everyone was shocked and baffled. Juliet said again, no, that's inhuman. Elizabeth said while scratching her neck, that's insane. Interviewer said, the meaningful connection you make, the feelings you get helping your associate are immeasurable. Then another interviewer announced, by the way, this position is going to pay absolutely nothing. There will be no pay for this job. Taken aback, one of the male candidates, Francis, asked, excuse me? Juliet, with grief and shaking her head, added, oh no, nobody is going to do that for free. Nobody. Interviewer asked them, what if I tell you that someone currently holds this position right now? All candidates shouted, who? Interviewer said, there are billions of people actually holding this position. Mary asked, who? Please tell us. To this question, the interviewer said, moms. Moms, mothers, They meet every requirement, don't they? At this moment, each of the candidates started saying, "That's awesome. Mothers are the best. Now I am thinking about my mom." Some of them started shedding tears. "Mothers, thank you so much for everything you do. Some children may not appreciate you and your work, but remember that your job is the most important job in the world. Thank you, mothers, for everything you have done and for everything you are doing. We love you. You have been there for your children through thick and thin. You are awesome. You do the world's toughest and yet the world's most important job. Happy Mother's Day." If you paid attention to the gospel I read today, you will notice that Jesus has just given us a new commandment. During Jesus' ministry, a Pharisee who happens to be a scholar of the law had approached Jesus and asked him, "Teacher, what is the greatest of all the commandments?" And by the way, when he asked that question, he was asking Jesus, of all the laws that they have in the Old Testament, there are 613 laws. 613 laws. 248 of these laws are called positive laws. 365 of them are called negative laws. By positive law, they mean the laws that enjoins the Jews what they should do. And the negative laws are those that tell them what they should not do. Like, help the poor. That's considered a positive law. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. That's a positive law. Thou shalt not steal, meaning do not steal. That is considered a positive law. Do not covet your neighbor's wife or your neighbor's property. That's considered negative law. So the positive laws begin with do. Do this. Negative laws, do not do this. And so the Pharisee was simply asking Jesus, from all these 613 laws, which of them is the greatest? Eventually, Jesus said to him that the greatest of the commandments in the law is loving God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your being, and loving your neighbor as you love yourself. Now, that law is in the Old Testament. And I can imagine if I ask you what is the greatest commandment in the Bible, many of us will make reference to that. But brothers and sisters, that is not the greatest commandment in the Bible. That is loving God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your being, and your neighbor as yourself is the greatest commandment in the law. Old Testament law. In the New Testament, Jesus gave us the greatest commandment in the entire Bible. When he, on the Last Supper, while he was eating with disciples, Jesus said, "Now I give you a new commandment." See, that's how it begins. I give you a new commandment. Love one another as I love you. You see the difference there? Love one another as I love you contains the Old Testament law, but the Old Testament law commandment does not contain what Jesus is asking us to do. There is a difference between Loving your neighbor as you love yourself, and loving your neighbor just as Jesus loves us. In the new commandment, Jesus simply raised the bar. You know, loving your neighbor as you love yourself, that's a worldly kind of love. It's not sufficient. Love one another as I have loved you. And you may be wondering, how did Jesus love us? Take a look at the cross. On the Good Friday, Jesus revealed how much he loves the world. And you may be wondering, but that's too much. How can I love my neighbor as Jesus loves us? But if you listen to the story that I read, you can see that mothers and models of this kind of love, sacrificial love, love that is boundless, that continues to give and never stops giving. For a lot of mothers, even when they receive nothing in return from their children, they continue to love. When I was growing up, I have a sister who was the most difficult in our family. And as I was growing up, I was wondering why my mother cannot give her up. And one day, I remember saying to my mother, I said, "You have 11 children. Why are you so? It's as if without this daughter, you will not exist. Give her up so that we can have peace." I actually said this. Even when I was in the seminary preparing for going through priestly formation, during one of my holidays, I came back home. I repeated the same thing to my mom. I said, "How many times have I told you to just let her be? Give her up. You have 10 other children that care so much about you." But it's as if the reckless she becomes, the more difficult she becomes, the more headache she gives to my mom, the more the love increases. I didn't understand until, I think, 2014. I was ordained in 2007, but it was in 2014 when my friend sent me this story that I shared with you, a video, YouTube video. After I listened to it, I sat in my office and everything started coming home. And I realized this is the reason why it is almost impossible for mothers to give up any of their children, even if that child is the one that breaks your heart over and over and over again. They continue to release this outpouring of love. And so if you're wondering, how can I love my neighbor as Jesus loves us? Mothers have actually shown us that 9 months of discomfort, painful and excruciating childbirth and labor, several nights of waking up, sleepless nights, of waking up and checking on the child. When the child cries, the mother is trying to figure out, what is the child trying to communicate to me? I oftentimes wonder how mothers get to know that their child is having stomach pain. The child doesn't talk yet. All they can do is to cry. But yet, that divine connection that exists between the mother and the child, mother knows my child is going through this or going through that. And they constantly give and give and give and give. And even after the child is grown, moved on, married, you know, have her own child, mothers don't say, "Well, you are now an adult." In 2007, when I came to Memphis, I was ordained and sent to Memphis straight away. When I got there, I realized that we didn't have a cook in the house. And in one of my conversations with my mother, she asked me, she was trying to ask me about my experiences. I said, "Well, it's, you know, it's a little bit difficult here." She said, "You know, what about food?" Because my mom knows I love food. I love to eat. I said, "Well, we don't have a cook." I didn't know that was the worst thing I said to her. After 3 weeks, my elder sister called me and said, you better call her and let her know that you are okay. Because since you told her that you have no cook, she'd been wondering, she'd be worrying and waking up and praying and even sometimes not eating. And she'd be saying to my sister, why am I supposed to eat? My son is over there and no one is cooking for him. They don't have a cook and he doesn't know how to cook. See, I was raised in many Africans here, in a traditional African society where the boys were kicked out from the kitchen. It's not as if we don't want to be in the kitchen, but you know, you'd wash the dishes, clean the house, and do other stuff, but don't come near the kitchen. The kitchen is for my mom and for the girls. So I grew up not knowing how to cook. All I can do is to boil maybe rice, and sometimes it ends up burnt. And so that was playing in the mind of my mother, that I am starving. But of course, I wasn't starving. My pastor, Father Maurice, is a good cook. So he would cook when he's around. But when he's not around, he will buy me some packaged food for me to eat. That tells me how, even though I am a grown man, if I didn't become a priest, I would have married before then. But yet, that affection of a mother to a child never dies. Even though today we celebrate Mother's Day, yesterday I was at St. Pius X, and I said to them that every day should be a Mother's Day. Because when we celebrate our moms, we celebrate God. If you want to know how much God loves us, if you cannot comprehend that, because the human mind is so small for us to actually comprehend how God loves us, just look at a mother. And of course, when I mean a mother, I mean a mother. I'm not talking about, you know, some ladies who somehow gave birth to a child and dumps the child. Mother is a quality. Not every man who has a child is a father. And not every woman who has a child is a mother. Mother is a quality. It's an extra added quality. And most women have it. That's what we celebrate today. And so for all the mothers here and outside here, God bless you. May God strengthen you. All the pains, all the anguish, messing up your hormones. Because when a woman gives birth, everything about her changes. All of that is sacrifice. The man may stay like that for a very long time. We don't go through hormonal imbalances and changes. But a woman goes through that because of childbirth. Because of sharing and participating in God's creative activity, in the miracle of birth. May God keep you, strengthen you, and show his face unto you. And at the end of your life here on earth, I pray that the good Lord will remember you. He will enable you to sit at the table in his kingdom. And if there are some women here married but still don't have a child, that's why I brought the picture of Mother of Bethlehem. I wrote it here in front of the church. And I said, how can we celebrate Mother's Day without having our mother's picture standing in front of the church? She gave birth to Jesus, and I pray that through her intercession, the women sitting here who are still waiting on God, through the prayers of the Blessed Mother, you will carry your own child as well. And men, don't be jealous of your wife. I know some of you, you know, some time ago I preached like this, and after that, some men, you know, almost like ambushed me. Yeah, you can talk about women for all you care, but Father, we want you to remember that without us, they will not have those children. It really happened. You know, celebrate your wife, celebrate your mother, celebrate your grandmother, celebrate your children who are married. They are mothers. Celebrate them. Yes, you, if my father wasn't involved, there would be no me. But someone else carried me, nurtured me. You know, I would say that growing up, my mother invested so much in me than my dad. My dad was so much about working and making sure that the family has food to eat and a place to stay. Fathers play a significant role too. But today, we're not talking about fathers. Your day will come in June. When that time comes, I'm going to celebrate you, fathers. But today is for our moms. Let's thank God for them. Praise God for them and pray for them. The best thing you can do for your wife, if you want to show a good example to your children, if you don't even have to do much, the best example you can show to your wife, for your children, is to love them. Pamper them. When they are upset, just leave them alone. Later, come back and say, honey, I am sorry for the way I spoke to you. May God bless you and moms and protect you and grant you good health of mind and body. I pray for healing for you. That aches and pains, whatever it is that's troubling you, I invoke the intercession of our Blessed Mother for you. And I pray that the good Lord will touch you where it hurts and grant you relief. Give you peace of mind, give you good health of mind and body, strengthen you, walk with you, journey with you, accompany you through life journey. For those of you whose heart have been broken by your reckless son or reckless daughter, may God mend your heart. If you are suffering from broken heart syndrome, maybe from spouse, from children, from your in-laws, I pray for healing for you today and every day of your life. May God bless you. Thank you, mothers.